All right. Well, if you're new with us, want to let you know that inside your bulletin, there's an insert in there that has some blanks, some things that you might want to fill in, some kind of a handout. If you're an interactive learner like I am, I got to write stuff down. I got to see it visually. I got to hear it through my ears. I got to interact with it some way to let it really sink in, because we are having a great summer so far in this message series that I am simply titling Summer Reads. And it's my desire to put some great books in your hands. It's my desire to help all of us deepen and develop our relationship with Christ and with one another. And the book that we're using right now is the second book in our series that is simply titled Talking with God. If you've not had the chance to pick up a copy of this book, I would commend you to pick this book up and start reading it. We have it for sale in our lobby. It's $15. If you want to discover what it means to pray, or if you're a seasoned prayer and you want to develop your prayer life better, this is a great tool for you. And so I would commend this to you and just start reading it. Today, we're going to cover up through about chapter 4. Next week, we're going to hit some of the things in chapter 5. But I want to just tell you, I want to lay out for you just simply the idea of what is prayer. And prayer is just simply this. It is talking to God. It is just talking to God, and it's God talking to us. It's being people who are living in this idea of this relationship that we have a God who wants to be intimate with us. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to be with us. The scripture says that God is with us, and so he makes himself available to us. He longs to hear from us. He longs for us to recognize who he is, to be in this ongoing dynamic relationship. And the primary way that we develop this relationship with God is through prayer. Just simply talking to God and God talking to us. And that's the heart of what this book is about. And that's the heart of where we're going with this series. Because I want to make it so simple. I want us to be in this place where we develop and discover this prayer life that is not some mystical, magical thing, that is not this overly complicated, formulaic thing, that is just simply talking to God. Because some of us grew up in traditions where it was all formula, or it was all formal, or you had to do it a certain way. And because you didn't do it a certain way, or maybe you didn't know the right words to say, honestly, you didn't do it, or you don't do it. Maybe you grew up in a tradition that was like, you had to pray this certain way, eyes closed, head bowed, hands clasped, or maybe you thought it didn't count. Or maybe you grew up thinking, man, who am I to pray? Man, I got all this stuff. God doesn't want to hear from me until I fix my stuff. Wrong. God wants to hear from you so he can fix your stuff. Maybe you grew up in a tradition where you're like, man, I don't even have the words. I hear these people pray and it sounds so eloquent. And I sound like the cable guy. No offense to cable guys. But you know, if you've seen that show, right? Like, so we got to figure out, like, how do we pray? And so what we're trying to do in this series is to kind of demystify this. We're trying to do this in such a way that my hope and my prayer for you and for me is that we will be people more persistent in our prayer, that we will recognize this great reservoir of God, so to speak, that we will tap into the power and presence and the possibilities of God by talking to him and by listening as he talks to us. Because he longs to do that. And there's a mystery that we see in Scripture. There's this incredible mystery that Jesus paints a picture for us. That we discover that as people, we overcomplicate stuff. And so there's this amazing little story that we see in Scripture that Jesus wants us to understand what we can learn from kids. And Adam talks about that in chapter 4 of his book. And he talks about, what can we learn from kids about prayer? And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But I thought it would be fun for us to kind of start out by showing you what are some of the fun little things that we see kids pray for. Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that? Or was it an accident, Norma? Next one. We read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school, they said you did it. So I bet he stole your idea. Sincerely, Donna. Dear God, my turtle died. Is she there with you? If so, she likes lettuce. Susie. Yeah. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. We can learn a lot from Elliot. Dear God, are you really invisible or is that just a trick? Lucy. I love these. Dear God, it is great the way you always get the stars in the right places. Jeff. Dear God, please change the taste of asparagus. It's gross. Thanks. Anybody identify with that prayer? Yeah. Actually, when I first looked at that, I thought it said it's grass because it tastes like it, doesn't it? Sorry. Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? You can guess which translation they were reading, right? God, I would like to live 900 years like that guy in the Bible. Love, Chris. Dear God, there isn't school in heaven, is there? Jack. Or this one about Sunday school. Why is Sunday school on Sunday? I thought it was supposed to be our day of rest. Anybody else? Like, yep. Or this one. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. I love the simplicity of kids' prayers, don't you? You can just identify with this, right? For Father's Day, dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. My daughter calls it fur. She's like, you got fur, daddy. I think that's the last one. So Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples. And the disciples, you know, they're a work in progress, just like us. And so at one point, they asked Jesus this incredible question. Because they were like vying for who's the best. They were vying for like the number one disciple, right? They were vying for who's got it all together. And so they asked Jesus, hey, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I just know that they're sitting back going, he's going to call on me. Yeah, it's me. Or I bet that there's other guys going, I bet it's going to be because like they're really spiritual. So I'm sure it's going to be them. It's going to be a doctor. It's going to be a religious leader. Like, it's going to be somebody who, like, man, when they pray, it's like E.F. Hutton. People listen, right? You expect that that's what Jesus is going to say, right? Wrong. Look what Jesus says. Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like this little child, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You got to be like this little child, or you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. What do we know about kids? Man, they do not overcomplicate. And sometimes they do, but on a whole, they don't really overcomplicate stuff, do they? They just trust they're going to put their hands up like this, and you're going to do what? Pick them up, right? They trust that you're going to be there when they fall down, that you're going to pick them up, right? They're just honest like those prayers, right? We pray every night in our house. When we go to bed, it's Jenny takes one and I take the other, and then we switch off the next day, and we do prayers. Early on, we did what we called repeat prayers, right? So I would pray something, and then one of my daughters would repeat after what I said. And now as they're growing a little bit older, we say, all right, now pray from the heart. Now I will be honest with you. I got convicted of that in our small group where we're meeting on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock to talk about this book. I got convicted about that because I realized that those repeat prayers can be from the heart. So I'm using the wrong words. And what I really need to do is to just say, all right, honey, why don't you talk to God? Why don't you just use your words? You don't need my words because your words are awesome. Your words are perfect. You can say just the right thing. Even as Jamie said, her daughter prays for like frozen powers like Elsa because they're just honest that you can use and you can pray really simply because that's what kids do, right? It's black or white. It's yes or no. You got to fight that one sometimes. But it's just simple, right? And so I think, as Adam points out in his book, I think there are like three really amazing lessons that we can learn about prayer. Because again, here's what I want. I want us to be praying more. I want us to be believing in the power of prayer. I want us to do this thing that we're just praying, believing that God is going to do something because we pray. We're just praying more because God loves to talk. He loves to hear us. And so three things that I want to point out this morning that I hope will empower you, that will open the floodgates so that maybe, just maybe, we will all walk out of this place being like, I'm going to pray more. Because like George just like made it easier. Because we don't have to be complicated. We don't have to be formulaic. There's no form that we have to follow. We don't have to say this and then this and then this and this. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some great models out there to help us in guided prayer or to intercessory prayer where we pray for other folks. But prayer in general, I think here are some great lessons for us. I think the first lesson about prayer is to just keep it short. I know that some of you are going, amen. Because you're like, you just heard really long prayers. Now, again, there is nothing wrong with a long prayer. Because sometimes, man, we just got to be in this place where we're just pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. But I think sometimes, because we don't think like we have enough time to devote to prayer, or that we don't have enough segmented out time, that we can't give it like our all, that we don't do it. Right? Like how often have you found yourself saying, hey, well, I'll pray for you, and you never do? Where you read something and you're like, hey, praying, and you're not. Or you're just like, hey, can I pray with you or pray for you? And you don't. Well, I think part of the problem with that is that we think that it's going to take too much time, or we have to segment out this place or this position or this posture or whatever it is, when the reality is we can pray short prayers. We can pray, God, help. We can pray prayers like, God, give me the words. We can pray prayers like, God, give her peace. We can pray prayers like, God, stop. There are so many short prayers that we can say, because here's the idea. We are invited to say what we feel and feel what we say. Because that's just being in a relationship with God. And God is big enough to handle whatever we have to throw at him. And so one of the hindrances, or one of the blockages, or maybe one of the walls for you of praying, is that you feel like, man, I can't devote a long period of time. That's okay. You can just talk to God. You can say what you feel and feel what you say. You can just speak short prayers to God. See, we are invited in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to never stop praying. That should be a clue for us that it's just we are in this conversation with God and talking to God, that we can just pray all the time short prayers for things, because God longs to hear from us. He longs to be in this relationship with us where we get to talk to him and he gets to talk to us. So if one of your hurdles, one of your hindrances to prayer is that you're like, man, I just don't feel like I got time, or you know, maybe we even feel like it's dishonoring to God if we don't spend more time, when the reality is God just wants us to spend time with him. He just wants us to talk to him, and he wants to talk to us. So we can keep it short. I think a second lesson that we can learn about prayer is that we can keep it simple. Again, we as adults so overcomplicate things, right? We rationalize things. We excuse. I mean, we can fill in the gap with a lot of stuff, right? But the idea is that God just loves and longs to hear from us. And so we can just keep it simple. We don't have to pray in a certain language. We get to talk to God as he's our friend. We talked about that last week, where Jesus says, I call you my friend. Well, when you're praying to God, isn't it comforting and great when you can just talk to God and use the kind of words that you use right now? that you can just talk to God and say, God, I just need your help. God, I just want to give you thanks for this day. God, I just look at my child and I'm so blessed. God, I look at this situation and God, I just need your help. We can just talk so simply to God using uncomplicated everyday words. Because isn't that how we would talk to one another? Isn't that how we talk to our friends? The Pharisees, these religious leaders in the first century, they were all about the show. They were all about the pretense. They were all about being those guys that everybody was like, look at them. They are so spiritual. But see, God is concerned with what's on the inside because he knows everything about us. And so as he's continuing to teach his disciples, his followers, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, he says this in Matthew 6 and 7, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask them. God's saying, don't like just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Just be simple. Just talk about what you're feeling. Talk about what you're experiencing. Talk about what's in your prayer. Keep it simple. So you get to keep it short. You get to keep it simple. Amazing rules for prayer. And then the third one, keep it honest. Keep it honest. Do you know that you can be perfectly honest with God? Do you know that you can tell God exactly what is on your heart? Now, he already knows it. So when we don't tell him what's really on our heart, we're like holding something back. Might even go so far as to call it lying, like when somebody says, how you doing? And we're like, okay, and we're not really okay. That we can just be so honest with God because he can handle whatever we got. David was called a man after God's own heart. And one of the questions that we had this morning is we kind of thought about, so why was he really a man after God's own heart? And I think because David was willing to come to God exactly as he was. He was willing to talk to God with whatever he was facing, with whatever life was like in that moment. David made some huge blunders in his life. But he was the guy that just came to God. He talked to God. It looks like in scripture that he talked to God like all the time. And he talked to God in such a way that showed the breadth of what he was feeling, the breadth of what he was experiencing. We look at the Psalms. When we look at the Psalms, this book in the Bible that are prayers, they're songs actually that the Hebrew people sang to God. We see the full gamut of emotions, and they're an amazing model for us of how we can actually talk to God. And so we could get things on one side of being all praise and glory and goodness on one side, and we can get on the other side like the psalmist crying out to God in the depths of pain and despair. For instance, if we look at Psalm 77, just the first few verses, we can see what David says. He says, I cry out to God. You ever cry out to God? I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. So that gives us permission. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan. Guy after God's own heart. Overwhelmed with longing for this help. You don't let me sleep. I am distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Like, are any of you looking at this going, he really talked to God that way? Yeah. Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. But then I recall all you have done. Oh, Lord, I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works, oh God. Your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? What did you just see in those 13 verses? He poured out his heart, right? He just talked to God in this raw, real sort of way. Just what was going on in the depths of his being. And that gives us permission. We can talk to God in the very same way. But then he comes around because he has to remind himself, oh, but God is so good. Look at all that he's done. And then on the other side of that spectrum, so to speak, we see in Psalm 77, like so many, where David just says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. Short, simple, honest. We are invited to let the words on the inside come out, to just express to God what's going on. In Matthew 6:5, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. Now, he is not saying don't pray out loud. But what he's saying is he's really kind of coming down on these guys. He's like, just don't do it for show. Like, just talk to God. It's okay to talk to God. It's okay to share what's really going on. And just don't be a hypocrite about it. Like, just be honest and transparent and raw and real with God. He not only can take it, he wants it. Because that is then how we invite God into the pain of our lives, into the difficulty of our lives, where he can do something. And so I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you to say something to God. I don't know where you are or what you're facing or what you're feeling today. But I got a whole bunch of things listed that might actually identify with you. And often the door to prayer begins by just saying or admitting what's going on in your life. Of being able to be real and transparent, maybe even raw, with God. Because it's in opening the door that he comes in. In Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I'm not going to kick the door in. You got to let me in. And often we begin letting him in by just admitting what's going on. And so at the bottom of your message notes, there's a place that says, what do you need to say to God? Here's the point. I want us to look at these and think, okay, where do I need to get honest and simple? Where do I need to get real in where I am and in my relationship with God? So what do you need to say to God? Maybe you need to say, I'm angry at you. I'm angry at you for letting my mom die. I'm angry at you for our miscarriage. I'm angry at you for letting me get hurt. I'm angry at you for letting me get sick. I'm angry at you for my messed up childhood. Maybe you need to ask God something today. Maybe you're asking for God to heal your mom or your dad or your child. Maybe you're asking God to help you get pregnant. Maybe you're asking God to help you get a job, to heal your marriage, to provide for you, to answer your prayer, to help you trust him. Maybe you need to admit something else to God. Maybe you need to admit that you're addicted. Maybe you're struggling with pornography. Maybe you're struggling with drinking or gambling or depression. or jealousy, or bitterness. Maybe you're cheating on your spouse. Maybe you just need to admit to God that you're deceiving yourself, or that you're deceiving others. Maybe you need to admit that you're committing fraud. Maybe you need to admit that you're just sick of who you are right now. Maybe you need to be sick of what you are or what you're becoming. Maybe you need to invite God and say, God, would you please change me? Would you take away my pride? Would you help me to fully love my spouse? God, would you just help to remove my insecurities? Would you help me to see and treat people like you would? Maybe you need to say to God, okay, I'm giving you my pain. I'm giving you my hurt. God, I'm giving you my bitterness. Maybe you just need to say, God, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Maybe you need to say, God, without you, I am nothing. Would you forgive me? Would you forgive me for sleeping around, for gossiping about people, for the horrible things I've said and done? God, I just want to acknowledge. I just want to trust you with all of it. I just want to be honest. I want to be whole. Maybe you just want to be right. What do you need to say to God? See, prayer, when we keep it short, when we keep it simple, when we keep it honest, we come clean. And when we come clean before God, it's the place where healing and renewal and recreation happens. And so just like we did last week, I want to invite you, because I want us to be so intentional about prayer, that I want to invite you to maybe just take a few minutes. Maybe I prompted something while I was talking, while I was going through this list of things that you need to say to God. Maybe yours was on that list. Maybe you had several on that list. Maybe yours wasn't on there, but God's just bringing that to mind right now. And maybe you just need to share that with God, acknowledge it with God, and invite God into it, where he can do exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. So I want to invite you. We're just going to be quiet. I want to invite you maybe to look at your bulletin notes. I want to invite you to pray. I want you maybe get out your pen, and maybe for the first time ever, that today's the day where you just write down, what do you need to say to God? And then just in the quietness of our time this morning, just to say it. Invite God into it. Say it to him and see what he might want to say to you. So let's just be quiet and pray. God, you invite us to be in this place where we can just talk to you. And you invite us into this posture where we can hear from you. God, your word says that you are faithful. that you speak to us through your word. You speak to us through others. You speak to us through messages, through song. You speak to us through your spirit. And so, God, I pray that while we've been naming things before you, God, that you would speak to us, that you would draw us near to you. That as we're drawn near to you, Lord, that we might experience your love in new and profound ways, where we might receive the healing that we're asking for, where we might receive the renewal that we need, where we might receive the help that we're asking for. That maybe just we might receive your presence and have this overwhelming sense that you are with us, that your word, as it says, that you will never forsake us, that you will never leave us, that you are always with us. God, you are good. And you want good things for us. And so we pray, God, that you would help us to experience what those are and to know what those are as we seek to deepen this relationship with you, where we might discover the depths of this relationship with you. Now, I don't want to rush. You might still have some business to do with God, and so our band is going to lead us in this next song. And if you just need to stay seated and just spend some more time praying, maybe you need to come up to one of our altar tables there and pray. Maybe you need to sit and sing or stand and sing wherever you are with that. We just want to invite you to be in this presence with God as we just continue to worship him this morning.